Amen. Thanks. It's a good morning to be here. Amen. That's good. Let's pray together and we'll just keep on moving with our service today. And it's really good to be in your presence today, Lord. I know we're in your presence every day. I know you're with us in all we do, everywhere we go. I know that you're watching over your children and loving us. Father, we know that you're always calling us closer, providing ways out for us, ways of escape, opportunities for blessings, life, love. You're always with us, God. Father, I pray that you would teach us to always be with you. We'd always see you, and we'd always know your presence. Always sense your power. Always have a desire to let our lives be lived for you, sacrificed to you, honoring of you. Father, we're not in doubt that that's the best place for our lives. We just get really distracted about it. Lord, we know that our lives are whole when they're right with you, when we're present with you. We just get a little distracted. Father, I pray now as you lead us, have led us through the worship time to this part of our worship, pray that you would bless us now. Pray that you would move us closer to you, encourage us with your word. Father, I pray that you would move me out of your way in spirit. I pray that you would just work in us. And Father, I pray you would help everyone here to know what they already know and remind them, I'm an unworthy vessel. And to speak about your worship, I'm certainly not qualified. Lord, but I pray that you would use this time and just teach us well. You are wonderful. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Sean. Wonderful worship. I've been encouraged, challenged, pressed, pushed. I don't know what the word would say about worship, about who we are, what we do, why we do. I'm not going to get anywhere near all of that today. I'd love to talk about worship with you next week and the next week and the next week and the next week and the next week. We could talk forever, and we should. That's what we ought to be doing, always. He is the one so worthy of all of our worship. And so I just want to start off with here just for a moment about who and what do we worship. Let's make a deal here real quickly. I love you. I'm pretty much crazy about you. I'm not good at showing it, but I am. So every now and then I might say, we've got to, but I love you. And usually I'm meaning me. There's a little passion in me about this, mostly because I see myself as very weak. But I got to tell you, our problem with faith is hugely because of our problem with worshiping God, understanding who he is, and putting him first in our lives. And point number one, who and what do we worship? I could say ourselves about every one of us. I could say ourselves. Now, I'm not cutting you down and telling you you're a miserable Christian. I'm telling you you're a person. You got flesh, and flesh wants to fill itself. Flesh wants to appease itself. Flesh wants to have its way. And so whatever I want, I give myself. Whatever I desire first, that's what I get. And very, very often, 7 days a week, 6 days a week, and about 22 hours, 23 hours, 21 hours, I pretty much serve myself. I pretty much put myself as the one I worship. I get what I want, and I do what I want. In saying who and what do we worship, I would say we worship our local football team. Every Friday night, man, there's a lot more worship poured out down here on a football field, on a soccer field, on a baseball field, wherever we go and our kids are doing something, there's way more worship poured out there than here, is there not? Come on. We're behind them. We're cheering them. We're applauding them. We're saying, go, baby, go. I believe in you. Can nobody stop my boy when he's got the football? That's what we do. I was watching it down, watching a football game. My daughter's a cheerleader, and Grandpa's sitting in the stands. He said 6 times in the first period, first quarter football. Yeah, that boy down there, quarterback, he's got an arm. I found out it was his son, or his grandson. I'm like, yeah, that's right, he's got an arm. He's your grandson. You're behind him. We support ourselves. We worship. We don't have a problem with worship. We do worship. The question is, what and who do we worship? And worship as the definition, if we want to really get behind it, the English, the definition that we have placed on it, what it really means to us is worth-ship. Worth-ship, to place worth on whatever we're, whatever has our attention or the object of our affection. Now we're folks, we're a little prideful, and we don't like to say too much about, you know, I worship that, and I worship that, and I worship that, and I worship money, and I worship sports, and I worship my wife, and I worship my car, and I worship my toys, and my golf clubs, and my farm, and my corn. Look at that stuff grow. That stuff is 12 feet tall. It's got ears on it that big around. That's beautiful corn. And those beans, look how thick they are. Hallelujah. Praise my beans. We worship. My business is thriving. People are coming to me. They're looking to me. They're seeing that I'm the one that's providing this service for them. My business is thriving. I'm probably the best person to do this job. And man, we don't have a problem with worship. We got no problem with worship. We do worship, don't we? We pour it out, in fact. I mean, we really pour it out. There's something in our lives that you can't wait to get a hold of, and you treat it so gently, and you take such care of it, and you pet it, and you honor it, and you love it. You love it. The question is, do you love it more than you love God? Not the churchy answer. We talk about this on Wednesday night a few weeks ago. Not the churchy answer. Of course today we all love God more than we love that stuff. Of course we do. It's Sunday morning. And tonight's Sunday night. I mean every day of the week except for Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I mean, and if you come to church Sunday night, Wednesday night, it might just be Sunday morning. Do we love those things? Again, more. The word most commonly translated in the Hebrew as worship is shakaha. Shakaha. I can't say that well. It sounds like somebody's getting ready to do a rap or something. Luke could do that well for us here this morning. It means to prostrate. It's a reflex of homage to royalty, to bow down, crouch down low. It is the opposite of a prideful position, right? It's the surrendering myself. I'm making myself very vulnerable because what I'm looking at is so much better than me. What I'm looking at is so much more honorable than me. Actually, I wouldn't be looking at it. It's what I saw right before I put my head on the ground. I'm not even worthy to look anymore. It's what the disciples say when Jesus says, throw the nets out, and boom, they're full. And Peter's, boom, head on the ground. Go away from me. I am not worthy. I'm a sinful man. I shouldn't be near you. We got no problem saying that to God. I should be here. I'm one of your good ones. I'm a good one, Lord. I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior. I'm a prayer warrior. There's a good one. Wow, really? You're talking to God. About God. There's none of us worthy to call ourselves anything before God. I'm not sure, so sure we should even, and this is, don't be offended by this, I'm not sure we should even call ourselves Christians. Because when you look at Him, we are so far from Christ-like, so often, aren't we? I'm not condemning us, I'm just saying somewhere along the line, worship would mean I would see Him. I would see Him. I would look at Him. I would look at Him. Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. I will seek You in the morning. Did you know that song said that? I mean, when you say that, did you know it said that? Monday morning, I told God Sunday morning, I'll seek You, and I will learn to walk in Your ways. See, worship means I'll see him somewhere. I'll look at him. I'll actually see him. And boy, when I do, we'll get to that in a minute. The Greek word for worship is proskuneo. It means to kiss toward. To present love, to move Troy, my brother, my friend, there's something there, there's something beautiful that you would present to God in our worship. It speaks of it commonly in the New Testament. The word is proskuneo. The word in the Old Testament, Hebrew, to bow down, to just render yourself just nothing on the floor before him. Worship. I am nothing. He is everything. David says in Psalm 63, such a powerful, powerful text. I might have gotten ahead of myself if you hold on for just a moment. I did. Give me the slide, Jacob. I apologize. John says that God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. When we're talking about this worship, this thing that God has called us to, how wonderful he is, when we say, what is worship? What is it about? It's about the inner part of me pouring itself out to him. David says in the Psalms, go ahead, Jacob, if you go to the next one. Oh God, you are my God. Listen to what he's saying, the point of his heart. What is he looking at? What does he see when he's praying? Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. I know I've sensed that before, but a lot of times I really start loving life again. Your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods, with the singing of my mouth, with singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I will remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I will sing in the shadow of your wings. What is worship? I mean, that's deep inside David, isn't it? He's calling out. He's looking at him. You know the times when you're watching television and your wife starts talking to you, the football game's on, and she's like, what do you want for supper? What do you want for supper? You gonna buy your own supper tonight? You know, did you say something, honey? They were about to score. That's not communication, is it? So distracted. We're in this thing here, but we're not here. And David is so connected to God. He's so connected to him. It's not that he doesn't have distractions. David's got all kinds of distractions. Read his life. It's crazy, the distractions in David's life all the time. But he can't help but get alone with God. He can't help but look at him and talk to him. His songs aren't filled with, I can't say it, maybe later. Maybe I will say it. We sing way too much to one another, in my opinion, and not enough to God. I said in my opinion, and my opinion in this case is right. Anyway, moving on. We'll come back to that maybe later. Why do we worship God? You hear the call. You hear David press us. You hear Paul press us. That as Jesus is is saying here, his worshipers, not Paul but John, press us, as Jesus is saying, his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. But why Jesus? Or why God? Why worship God? There's so many other things to worship out here. Right? If there weren't, we wouldn't do it. The only problem is none of them are living. None of them can give you life. None of them do anything for us like we do. David says, again, in Psalms 119:64, seven times a day I worship you. God is a spirit. His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. There was a little boy, it was his birthday, sixth birthday, and his dad goes to him and says, and I like to believe this is not a preacher story, so just pretend it's real if it's not, okay? It makes it so much better if you believe it to be true. His dad goes to him and says, hey, son, your birthday's coming up. I know you want a party. Is there anything in particular you want for your birthday? He always has very detailed requests for his birthday. And so he says, well, Dad, I'm not really concerned. We're going to have a birthday party. He says, yeah, but I want to get something for you for your birthday that you really want. And he says, okay, I'd like a ball. And he says, well, football, basketball, baseball. And I said, well, if you're going to be able to spend time with me, then I want a football so we can throw it to one another. But if you're not, how about a soccer ball? That way I can play with the kids in the neighborhood. And his dad says, wow, okay, I'll surprise you. And he goes to his wife and he tells her the story, and they both come to the conclusion the problem or the deal isn't that he wants what he wants for his birthday. The deal is who he gets to spend time with for his birthday. Not the gift, but the giver of the gift, right? And so when I say why do we worship God, the call to us is, first of all, because he's the only one worthy, because the giver is so much better than the gifts, right? But so often we're on the gifts. So often we're on the gifts instead of on the giver. We love people, gift, blessing along the way. God, the giver of all the good things. Clement of Alexandria, he was speaking on this David, this last David passage, seven times a day I worship you. And he says that this is not in a specific time or place, or a selected temple, or at certain festivals, or on appointed days, but during his whole life. And so Clement says this about him and his the folks close to him. He says, persuaded that God is altogether on every side present, we cultivate our fields praising, we sail the sea hymning. He continues, his sacrifices are prayers and praises and readings in the scripture before meals, and psalms and hymns during meals and before bed, and prayers also again during the night. And by these, he unites himself with the divine choir from continual recollection, engaged in contemplation, which has everlasting remembrance. Wow. Everywhere I go, everything I do, I'm just singing to you. I'm honoring you. I'm praying to you. I'm remembering you, God. That's life, right? Why do we worship God? Why do we worship God? Paul says this to the men at Athens. It's such an incredible reason why we worship God. Acts 17:24-28. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples made by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set before them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own prophets have said, we are his offspring. Why do we worship God? Well, first commandment, no other gods before me. That's a good one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. You shall worship the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Yes, it's commanded. Yeah, it's commanded that we worship God. But how about this? He made it all. Take a look. Did you see the sunset last night and that crazy full moon rise up? It takes your breath. Doesn't even think about it. It just happens because he is incredibly powerful. And when do the ocean waves stop? Go to the beach and tell me when they call me. Please text me. Call me Collect. I don't even think they have Collect anymore. Call me. Bother me in the middle of the night. Hey, I think they just stopped. And I'll say, no, they didn't, because we're not in heaven yet, knucklehead. Come on! This is God we're talking about. He never will be defeated. He never will be shut up or shut down or anything else. It's God. You'll never face anything he won't see through with you. You'll never come up against anything that's too strong for him. It's God. It's him. Why worship him? Look at it. In him you live, you move, and you have your being. People say, if God shut off the oxygen, you wouldn't live. If God didn't make you, you wouldn't be here. There wouldn't be a Nick Davis. There might be one, but it wouldn't be this one. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have this crazy awesome life that you have with your wonderful spouse and your wonderful wife and your wonderful kids. And you're always complaining because, I don't know, they don't do everything right. My job stinks and my car's not good. You're here. He's your God. And when this is all done, guess what? You get to go home. You get to go home. You get to go home. God is so worthy of all of our worship. All of our worship. In fact, if it weren't for him understanding our worship, we would be such a mess. We have a problem with songs. We have a problem with styles. We have a problem with too fast, too slow, stand up, clap. Mic's too loud, mic's too soft. You know, God, Devo songs and old traditional songs. And you know, if God allows us to be in 2050, he's already there. If God allows us to be in the year, I don't know. I'm not even going to go because my mind's... He's wherever we go, whatever year, 2099, he's already there. We won't sing songs that are relevant enough for him, except for the fact that he loves us. God is so much more relevant than we are. He's so much more contemporary than we are. He gets this stuff so much better than we do. And I'm not trying to confuse you with this thought. If I am, I apologize. But it's just weird to me sometimes. I grew up with my mom and dad loving good old songs. And no offense, please don't be offended by this. But good old songs are for us. They're not for him. Good old songs don't move him any more than good news songs do. Because songs are about God. I'm not to be here to be comfortable. I didn't come to worship today for Jamie to get patted. I'm not supposed to. I can worship today because God is incredible, and whatever song communicates to him how amazing he is, that's the song I ought to be singing. Whatever song tells him how amazing he is, that's the song I ought to be singing. And I ought to sing it all week long. But our struggle is, as much as our younger generation and our older generation, our generation in between are too busy, we also are too busy to stop and slow down and think, what is this really supposed to be? The reason I make that point is, church is not a place where we come to go back. It's not a place we come to go back. Yeah, we go back to the cross. No, we don't. The cross is where we are today. Sorry. We don't go back. We don't go back. We're moving forward. We're walking toward heaven. And so when we think these thoughts, what I would like for us to think about is, the comfort of an old song is really just for me. The comfort of a new song is really just for me. What Jamie ought to be focused on is that the song speaks my heart to God, not to Caleb, not to John. And a little bit more explaining why I'm thinking this. A couple years ago, I came home from Honduras. We came home from Honduras. And they have absolutely nothing. They've got nothing. I mean, they're poor. And you could throw out slogans or quotes about how poor they are. You've heard them all. And I came home and I sat down on Sunday morning. We got home on Thursday and I'm still stunned. Wayne's stunned and Luke's stunned and everybody went stunned at what we've seen. And the first song that we sung on a Sunday morning was Mansions Over the Hilltop. Now, no offense to you who love Mansions Over the Hilltop. I love you. And I love songs myself, but it was a little bit weird to me to think that God was honored, just weird to me to think that God was honored by a song that says, I'm satisfied, God, with just a cottage below my little teeny house. We've been building sheds in Honduras for his loved ones. A little silver and a little gold. And they got nothing, but I'm satisfied with this rough life I have. But in the city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one that's silver lined. Isn't that a little bit messed up? And we sing about silver, and we sing about gold, and we sing about, and I've said before, and I'll say again, you will take a park bench in heaven with a daggone newspaper to cover you if there were a night, like a hobo in a city, as long as you get to be near God. Because he is the one. He's the one that deserves all our praise. He's the one that deserves all our honor. He's the one that deserves it all. That's why we worship him. But here's more. What happens when we worship God? And I've got to hurry here. Because in God's presence, we are changed. Moses came down from the mountain and his face glowed because he had been in the presence of God. Isaiah says, behold, I am undone. Because when you're in God's presence, you are made aware. I am made aware that I am so much less than what I'm supposed to be. I'm so much less than him. And he loves me anyway. Boom, on my knees. No problem kissing toward you. I'll sing with a bunch of farmers in a barn. I'll go get my hair cut with Selena and sing. And she does. And this will be different because you saved me. God's cooler. He's stronger. He's better than anybody you hang with. And like I would love to meet Troy Polamalu of the Pittsburgh Steelers and just say, go Troy! And no matter who I was around, I go, that's Troy Polamalu right there. Troy, he's tough. And we get with people in our peer group and go, God. Yeah, I'm a Christian. No! Hey, God! He's awesome. He's amazing. I got no problem singing. You can't have a problem singing back row, front row, in the middle. You got to sing. We have to sing. Not because our mouths do anything great, but because it's a tell of where our heart is. Paul and Silas in prison, they've been beaten senseless. What do? They sing and they praise. And what happens? They are set free. Have opportunity to be set free, right? The jail shakes and God's message is carried on. Jehoshaphat, the Israelites are being attacked. God says, I'll take care of you. He puts the Levites up front. They start singing, give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever. While they praise, the Lord set up ambushes and the enemy defeated themselves. If he's God, he still does that. And he is. You can't come into the presence of God without becoming aware of your unholiness. And when you become aware of your unholiness, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You're very close to God. He's going to move in a mighty way to bless your life. Nowhere near what needs to be said about worship. And know I love you. Encourage one another with these words because we need to do a lot better with serving him, me personally, all of us as well, because he is amazing. If you desire to respond in any way, one of our elders will be on either side. They'll take your confession, immerse you into baptism so you can become a child of God today. Romans chapter 6 says if we died like this with him in his death, we'll be united with him in his resurrection. Or if you need to pray for encouragement or forgiveness or blessing, they're here for you for that as well.